You're listening to the Food Freedom Life Podcast. My name is Brittany Allison, and I spent 6+ years stuck in diet binge cycles, hating my body and envying others who seem to have it all because I never felt enough. What I discovered in my journey to food freedom and becoming a registered dietitian is this: you can either live your life at war with your mind or learn to work in sync with it. So if you're ready to learn how to be in tune with yourself and evolve your life, welcome to the show. I've been enjoying this new every other week format for the podcast, and I hope you are too, but if you're missing me in between, I invite you to join me over at the Empowered Eaters Collective, where for $37 a month, you get access to my online community where you can meet other people who are also working on intuitive eating and ditching diet culture. You get bonus content, you get weekly live Q&As or group coaching and just live hangouts with me, and you get my Food Freedom Forever courses as well as other bonuses. If you're interested in joining the Empowered Eaters Collective, head to brittanyallisonrd.com/membership or visit the link in the show notes to enroll. Today on the show, we have Jess Fry, who is a licensed professional counselor in the state of Pennsylvania, a certified intuitive eating counselor, and a body image coach. She became passionate about helping women heal from their relationships with food and improve body image after doing the work herself. Since discovering confidence and acceptance in her plus size body, Jess utilizes the very tools that helped her and empowers women to recognize their worth at every size so they can confidently approach life with unapologetic authenticity. Welcome, Jess. I'm so happy to have you on the show, and I love that bio.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I'm excited too.
How are you? Oh, I'm good. Yeah, it's since the long weekend, this week is already feeling kind of weird. It feels like it, I don't know, something is off.
I hear you. I feel like Mercury should be in retrograde, and every time I keep checking, it's not, and I'm like, there must be something else going on.
Yeah. There's something, that's for sure. I'm totally with you on that. Did you do anything fun over the long weekend?
I didn't have a long weekend.
Didn't you guys have President's Day?
We do, but I went on practice, so I just...
Oh, you booked yourself.
Yeah. It's also interesting when there's those like minor holidays that right. I have more clients who are off from work, so it's easier for them to see me, and I'm like... My husband is working, so like I might as well go in.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I totally get that. Yeah, I used to do that too. And then every single time I would regret it and I'd be like, why am I working today? And it just...
Now the big holidays, I'm like, no one's touching those.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Good.
But I like President's Day, I can get around. But I did go, I did laser tag with my cousins. Over the weekend.
And
I am obsessed. I'm very competitive. So when it comes to laser tag, it's like, if I could do that multiple times a week, that would be my favorite form of movement. It's just very expensive. And it was the first time I was in a group. There were 41 of us.
Wow.
Like not people I knew, but we were added to this large group of a melting pot of people, and 41 bodies running through this. It was crazy and so much fun.
Oh, that's so fun. Laser tag is very nostalgic.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Somebody needs to open like a laser tag fitness place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where you can go for like class times. It's just like regular group fitness. You go for a class time and I don't know. All of a sudden, they just get you to drop into 5 squats and they're like, okay, I'm back to it.
I would completely sign up for that.
That would be so fun. There's a business idea. Who knows?
Let's
make it happen.
Give up the paperwork.
2 locations, Pennsylvania and Toronto.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
To just start off with the first question, I always like to give the listeners a bit of an idea about your story and how did you get into this work? Did you always think that you would be a body image therapist and coach?
I never thought that I would be a body image therapist or coach. I actually went to school for therapy for my bachelor's and my master's degrees, and sadly was never taught anything about eating disorders, body image. It's still something that I hold against the field, especially because it is such an important thing that I think all therapists or all mental health professionals should be trained in. It wasn't until 2018, so I had already been practicing for about 5 years, that a client of mine started showing signs of struggling with body image and potentially an eating disorder. And I had no idea where to go. So I talked to some colleagues and was given some tools to use. And through assessing where she was at, noticed how much I was struggling in the area of body image. And I was scoring super high on these assessments. And so I took that as my first step of, wow, okay, I'm acknowledging that something's here that I wasn't aware of before. And I'm acknowledging that not only do I need some help in this area, but my clients also need help. So that was when I first started working on my own relationship with food and my body. And then in 2021, I took a deep dive into learning intuitive eating, became certified, and now my whole career is surrounding body image healing and your relationship with food. And it's not at all where I pictured myself ending up, but it is everything that I needed.
Wow. That's so amazing. And that's, I mean, I can really relate as well to just going through schooling and never learning about body image. I mean, I remember when I was in school for nutrition, we talked about eating disorders literally for, it was like a section of a page in one of the textbooks that we were going through. Like we breezed over it. And that's such a huge issue in body image, especially, I mean, with food too. But when you're becoming a therapist, I mean, how people feel in their bodies and how they relate to their bodies, how they think about their bodies and themselves is massive. It's
Massive.
wild that you don't go through that. But I'm also not surprised because that's our education system. It's really far behind.
Right. And when I was in school, this was before the opioid epidemic that it had taken, first place of being so deadly that eating disorders was number one before that. It's number two now. But you would think that the people who are at the front lines of helping people with their mental health would be trained in those areas, and we are unfortunately not. So,
Yeah.
a big part of my giving back has been training other therapists so that more people are at least aware and can see the signs and refer out when needed. But there's only one of me, and I hope that it becomes more common that it's actually being implemented in the educational curriculum, because that would be so helpful. But
Hey, maybe that's a direction that you can take in the future. And
is part of the plan.
I love that. That's awesome because it's so needed, not just for therapists, but for doctors and for dietitians and just mental health and health practitioners in general.
Amen.
Yeah, and I love that you, through working with clients, started to learn more about your own body image too. What was your body image like before you started going on your own healing journey?
I, through lots of therapy and reflection, recognized that I started struggling as early as 10. And I made this realization when I was about 28. So it was about, oh, 10, yeah, to 28. So about 18 years. I grew up in a family of plus size women who were taught and conditioned to hate their bodies and thus did everything they could to change and shrink. And so I grew up learning that my body was also wrong and needed to be changed in any way that it could be. And that was, those efforts at 10 were praised by the people who loved and cared for me. And I don't blame that. I don't hold resentment there because I, through the work that I've done, recognize that we were all affected by our extremely fatphobic society. And I feel so grateful that I got into this field and was able to recognize, or at least have an advantage, right? To opening the door of, oh, wow, this is actually common. but not healthy and not normal and something that I can change and improve. And so, yeah, from 10 all the way through 28, I was on countless diets and attempted to do anything to get myself to be smaller. And I essentially measured all of my worth around my appearance. And I'm so grateful that I got to a place of realizing that my worth has nothing to do with that. So yeah, it was lots and lots of self-hatred, no confidence, trying to change everything and being really unhappy with who I was as a person, because my body was seen as the ultimate deciding factor of my worth.
Wow. And it's amazing that, like you said, it was just, it's not normal, but it was so normalized, and that it took you becoming a therapist before that was ever highlighted for you that, hey, this is not just how we're supposed to view bodies. This is not how you're supposed to feel about yourself.
Exactly. And even recognizing it then in friends who weren't in plus size bodies, and you know, throughout high school and college, recognizing, okay, this isn't just my household kind of thing. This is just what women do. This is just how girls bond. This is just how we're supposed to be spending our time and our energy. And yeah, it wasn't until I saw it in someone else and wanted to help them that I recognized this isn't something that I want to see this person struggle or suffer with, that I was able to see that that's what I was struggling and suffering with.
We can learn a lot from our clients, that's for sure.
So much.
You mentioned the plus size women in your family and seeing women who are in smaller bodies also struggle. What is body image healing like for somebody in a larger body versus a smaller body?
Such a good question. I like to explain to people first that body image struggles or body image distress doesn't discriminate, that anyone in any sized body can be unhappy with how they look and can feel, you know, some of these symptoms. What's different for someone in a plus size body is that societally, we're taught that larger bodies are wrong. We're taught that larger bodies come with these other characteristics or personality traits that just aren't true. For example, we see in so many forms of media that the villain is in a fat body, or someone who is in a fat body is the butt of the joke, or that they are the less intelligent character in the plot. Or they're the lazy person who can't get off the couch. And so, even though these things might seem subtle on their own, when that's what we're being exposed to throughout life, we start to associate those ideas with the other people that we see. And so, when you're working on trying to heal this relationship, it can feel very isolating and it can feel like you're constantly trying to go up this uphill battle. When society and other people and strangers on the internet and magazine covers and all of these things are telling you that it's not okay, that it's not healthy, that it's not acceptable to be in any size body other than the thin ideal. So there are just a lot of added extra stressors, and not to mention the trauma that comes with growing up in a larger body. And the weight stigma that people experience, that's a whole nother layer that comes with the healing process. So it is difficult for people in all bodies to go through this kind of healing. It's even more so for those in larger bodies.
Very well said.
Thank you.
And I feel it's so important for anybody who's going through trying to work on their body image to really understand that, to understand fat phobia and weight stigma and thin privilege. That's something that I always talk about with clients because for somebody who is in maybe what they wouldn't consider to be, Victoria's Secret model body, but is in a straight size, right? They can go to any store in the mall and find something that fits them. They might not be in the smallest body ever, but they still have thin privilege. And I think that's really just so key for people to understand, not as a way to invalidate what they're experiencing in their bodies, right? Like you said, body image issues don't discriminate, but to really just get a grasp on, okay, I have this privilege and I need to use it to help elevate other people. I need to acknowledge that my issues are valid, but also a lot of them have to do with the experiences I've had and how I've internalized them, not how other people necessarily look at me. And this larger system influences how I feel other people look at me, but nobody is really picking me out on the street and thinking, oh my God, look at her body, right? It's what's going on inside. Whereas for someone in a larger body, it's also dealing with some of these external challenges too.
Absolutely. I think it's also helpful to add too that a lot of people, when we talk about weight stigma, especially in the health field of experiencing it with providers, that it only is affecting those in larger bodies. But I think it's quite the opposite because even those who are treated differently because they're in a smaller body, and so maybe their weight isn't brought up in a negative way, or maybe not at all. Sometimes people in smaller bodies are just passed on in the sense of like, oh, a doctor might not see a reason to do testing or a reason to go further. And so sometimes things are missed completely because there is this weight stigma and an anti-fat bias around smaller bodies being healthy. And so the added piece is when we talk about weight in that same kind of environment with someone who's in a smaller body, it is very damaging because there's so much shame and anxiety around it because that person might not be in a larger body, but now there's so much fear of what happens if I do gain weight, or what happens if I do eventually grow into a larger body. So you're not only hurting people who already exist in one, but you're hurting the idea of people fearing that they one day might. And so it is so universal. It doesn't discriminate. And even these pieces of it that can affect one population a little bit more still harms the other.
It hurts everybody. It's so harmful, and a lot of us go, our whole lives, we can go our whole lives not even recognizing that this is happening or this is why we're feeling the way that we're feeling about our bodies because it's not talked about.
And it's so taboo because so many people, again, they bond over making the jokes or making the comments about earning food or gaining weight. And so it's also kind of the territory of, oh, I don't want to step on toes or make this too serious because it's all light and fun and something that we all talk about anyway. So it's also it's hard to navigate.
It is absolutely. It's a very personal journey, I think, and one that needs to be approached from a lot of different angles and very gently as well, because there's so many experiences often that come with all of this too, from people's pasts and their upbringing and being bullied or whatever else it may have been. Question for you. When somebody, going back to the kind of clothing idea, if somebody is approaching healing their body image and they're like, I don't want to have to buy plus size clothing. How do you navigate that? How do you deal with that? How do you talk about that?
Such a good question. So, someone who is currently in straight size clothing sizes and is fearful of having to increase to a plus size.
Yeah. Would you approach it differently? Someone who's in a straight size fearing approaching that, or somebody who's in the plus size not wanting to have to stay continuing to buy those clothes?
Yeah. I think when it comes to clothing and the fear of having to go up to a larger size, it's something that I certainly struggled with for the majority, if not my whole struggle with my body, because I placed so much meaning on that number. And so if we think about relationships with food and weight as well, there's, so much pressure and meaning that we place on the number of calories or the number on the scale. And so this is another number, whatever is on that tag. So I encourage people to unpack how much they're placing on that number. And I give as much education as I can on, I'm smiling because it can be such a soapbox for me. That I want to spare you from but the idea of, not the idea, the reality of how screwed up our clothing system is and
Yeah.
how we can't control the sizing from brand to brand or even within the same clothing brands. So I try to bring light to how inconsistent clothing sizes are, and that those tags really are arbitrary and are packed with a lot of bullshit. So we talk through taking some pressure off of that number, as well as recognizing the importance of being comfortable and feeling confident in clothing without placing any kind of meaning to the size. And of course we unpack shame, like, what is it about being in a larger size? What is it about that plus size section? And how can we view it more neutrally
Yeah.
than seeing it as different or worse, something like that.
Yeah, I really like that. There's always meaning beneath it, right? It's never just at the surface where, oh, I just don't want to go to the plus size store, or I just don't want to wear that size, or I just don't want to, go up a size or whatever it is. It's always, well, why? And what's so bad about that? And where is that coming from? And why does that cause you anxiety? And peeling back the layers of the onion.
So many layers, so
Yes.
many layers. And they're so foundational because it typically goes back into early years and what, kids are being exposed to in media and the moralization of being in a larger size. So there's a lot to unpack. So if anybody's listening and they do struggle with that concept of just one size up, like there is so much to that outside of
Yeah,
the number.
absolutely. And how do you approach it when somebody brings up comfort, right? And I feel comfortable when my body is smaller and I'm uncomfortable at this size.
Speaking of onions and layers, so I ask a lot of questions because the word comfort, similar to the word health, can be so nuanced and have different meanings for different people. And so, are we talking about emotional comfort? Are we talking about physical comfort? Are we talking about like social comfort? And if it's something physical, which I think is often the most common response that I receive at least, then we focus on other health promoting behaviors. So if you're physically uncomfortable in your body, it's common and it's understandable that we've learned to blame that on a higher weight. But when we really look at it and we peel that back, people of all shapes and sizes can struggle with physical discomfort. And so, if it's something like your knees are hurting or your back is hurting, let's implement other tools. Let's do some stretching, do some yoga, do some strength building. Is a physical therapist needed to help you walk through some things that you can do to build that strength and endurance? Are there other health promoting behaviors we can use, like being more consistent with your sleep? Are there things that we can add in terms of staying more hydrated or eating more consistently throughout the day or reducing your stress? And I always get an eye roll with that because I think people assume if I could reduce my stress, I would. But if we really take a big picture look at it and take a step back, there are so many ways in which we can adjust things and take things off of our plates, in small ways that end up adding up to reduce some of that pressure and stress and pressure and burnout is so interrelated in terms of all of these feelings of comfort and then our health in general. But yeah, I would really get down to the nitty-gritty of what kind of comfort is it that you're seeking, and how are there other ways we can work around that and improve that comfort that has nothing to do with trying to shrink your body.
Love that. I really like what you said about just identifying the different kinds of comfort because it definitely all kind of gets lumped into that one word and it can get very convoluted and kind of messy and feel really big and really important that I need to, attain comfort. But if you don't really know what kind of comfort you're seeking, your body ends up just becoming a punching bag.
Yeah, and then if we're talking about comfort and your solution has been to, restrict or overexercise or punish by, talking negatively to or about, if it's really comfort you're looking for, I don't think that's the solution. So looking in other ways to try to ease that discomfort.
Absolutely. And going back to something you said earlier about confidence, that is something that a lot of people who maybe don't have the best body image struggle with is feeling confident, feeling sexy as they are right now. How can somebody work on feeling more confident and sexy in their current body?
I think if we look at confidence as an umbrella term, and a place where I would have people start is, again, I ask a lot of questions. So having people start to ask themselves things like, what is it that brings me joy? What is it that's important to me? What is it that I value? Because when we look at reasons why people lack confidence, it's often that we seek external validation. We seek external factors to bring us those things. And so, if you think about a yo-yo dieter, I'll speak for myself. When I was yo-yo dieting, the external validation of losing weight, changing my body, shrinking myself was that motivation that, oh, I must be doing something right. I'm getting all of these compliments. And so my confidence was relied upon other people who, and based on a variable that was ever changing. And we can think about it too in terms of beauty standards, that's constantly changing, especially now with like micro, what's the word I want?
Like micro trends.
Thank
Is that
you.
what you're
Yes,
getting at?
micro
Yeah.
trends. That's the word I wanted. It used to be year to year, there was a different trend. And now it seems to be week to week, there's a new
Yeah.
trend. And so when we're relying on other people to give us that validation of like, oh, our eyebrows need to look this way this time. And so then you go out and you buy all the things and you learn and you do the tutorials and you change your eyebrows and you do the things. You might not even like it. But if you're seeking validation from other people and that's what's building your confidence, it can get really sticky because we're relying on things that are out of our control. So when we seek internal validation, when we're really looking inside and understanding what is it that matters to me, what is it that I love, what is it that is important that I want to prioritize, we can quiet down the noise that's external and we can really start getting in touch with our body's cues and healing and in improving that relationship and getting more in touch with our own identity rather than trying to pick these little pieces apart from other people and forming something that just isn't us. And so I think true confidence, whether it comes in the form of just general confidence or body confidence, it is about getting in touch with who you are and what's important to you without caring and relying on what other people think. And that is always like, those are like the nails on the chalkboard for a lot of people.
Yeah, totally.
It's how can I not care about what other people think? And it's a gradual practice of just prioritizing what you think. And over time, that becomes easier and easier to do, where it's still normal for you to care what other people think because you're human. It's just that other people take a much less priority on your list of worries.
Yeah, those thoughts are potentially going to still be there about what are they going to think about this, or are they judging me? But they're a lot quieter and, like you said, lower on the list. I really love how you put that, that it doesn't completely go away, but your opinions, your thoughts, your priorities are a lot higher. And before you know what those are, your priorities and what you like and who you are, everybody else's opinions are number one.
Yeah, and you start to lose your own identity in relying on what other people want and think and care about. That it's hard to make those connections with yourself because you start to question and doubt, like, do I like my eyebrows this way? Do I really care to wear the latest flared leggings? Or do I like what I'm physically comfortable in? And so, getting more in touch with what you genuinely want and prefer and need, I think, is a key foundation. And then, bringing it back to body image, it's recognizing whether or not you want to be able to be confident in yourself and just exist without these other external worries. Or is it that you're going to rely on how you're feeling comfortably, how you're existing, how you're just being, based off of what other people are saying, based on that external noise? And every single time, it is much louder and much more chaotic to rely on that noise than it is to just be confident and at peace with our own selves and our preferences.
There's always going to be somebody who's not going to like your preferences, but they don't have to live your life. They're not you. And the more comfortable you are with what you know about yourself to be true, the less that matters that somebody else doesn't agree or doesn't get it. That's not
Yeah.
to say it doesn't still hurt or sting, but it matters less.
Exactly. One of my favorite quotes. I don't know if this is it specifically, like verbatim, but the version of it I use is, you can be the juiciest, ripest peach of all the peaches, and you're still going to find people that don't like peaches. And I think that's something that I was constantly chasing, was this people-pleasing tendency of, oh, this group of people loves this, and this group of people loves this, and this group of people complimented me for this reason, and trying to be all of those things at once. I completely lost sight of who I was, and was trying to convince all these people who didn't like peaches that I was the greatest and latest and best thing. And now being confident that, like, the people who don't like peaches are just not my people.
Yeah. And there are plenty of people out there who do love
Love
peaches.
them.
Yeah, that's
Exactly.
a wonderful analogy. It's a good way to look at it because you can't be what everybody is going to like. Never, ever. Even if you had a smaller body, you're still not going to be what everybody likes. You're gonna, like watching different kinds of TV shows or read different kinds of books or just have a different kind of personality. Whatever it may be, there's always going to be people who you don't vibe with and who just don't get you. And using your body as a tool to get everybody to like you is just, it's an endless pursuit that you're just never going to reach.
And it's such a false promise because I haven't met a single person, unless people have lied to me, but I haven't met a single person who has shared that they choose to surround themselves with people because of their bodies. So when we think about the people in our lives who we want to be with and around, we're not choosing those people because of what they look like or the size of their pants or how they wear their hair from day to day. We're choosing to be around them for those things, for those characteristics, for how we feel when we're with them, for how safe we feel, how much we laugh. So when we're sold this promise that we'll be happier and more accepted and all of our problems will go away if we are just in a smaller size, what BS we're being sold. Because that's not why we're choosing the people that we want to be around. So why would other people do that for us?
And that's such a light bulb moment for so many people. And I hope everybody listening really just, I mean, listen to that again.
Rewind and hit play.
You don't love the people that you love because of their body size or what they look like. You love them regardless because of who they are. And the same goes for you. You are not the exception. Something you talk a lot about on your page is that body image distress is a sign of an unmet need. Can you explain that more for everyone listening?
I'd love to. My favorite example is when I struggled with body image distress, I prioritized my appearance over everything. I was taught to do that, and it was reinforced through my whole life. And so I really gravitated toward this concept that people liked me for my appearance, which is quite the opposite of what I just shared. But I convinced myself that, if I looked a certain way, people would want to be around me more. I had just created this whole idea in my head that anytime that was reinforced, I believed it to be true. And so through my healing journey, I share with people that there isn't this finish line that you get to where once you've crossed it, you never struggle with body image ever again. Hell no, I still struggle with body image. What I'm able to do now is notice what my need is that isn't being met. And so the most common time when I experience that is when I'm getting ready to go meet someone new for the first time. I fall back into this pattern of stressing about my appearance. So it might be related to what I'm wearing. It might be related to do I put makeup on? Do I not put makeup? How is my hair? And I can now step back and realize, okay, Jess, this is a sign of an unmet need. And what I mean by that is there's something underneath the surface because body image is just the very, very thin layer on the outside that we all kind of shield ourselves behind. But when we really unpack it, there's so much more to uncover. And it's always an unmet need. And so, what is it that I'm needing right now that my body image distress is trying to mask? These kinds of situations, it's I need acceptance. I need to be accepted. That is something that I think a lot of people can get behind that concept of needing acceptance. But it's something that I've, struggled with for a lot of my life. So it's something that's very important to me. And my body image will spike when I'm starting to get nervous that that might not be guaranteed. And when I can recognize it and step back and say, ooh, okay, we don't need to fall down into this trap. I'm gonna take note of it. I'm gonna notice it in my body. Like I'm starting to get like a little bit of chest tightness. I'm starting to feel a little bit of like a fluttering in my stomach. It's a great sign that I'm feeling a little anxious about tonight. And that makes perfect sense. And I normalize it and I recognize how else can I get acceptance? And then I'll usually go to my husband and I'll be like, I need a little bit more from you tonight. And he'll be like, I got it. We're meeting new people. I get it. Like he knows the drill by now. But that might look like, I need an extra hug from you before we leave, or I need you to hold my hand under the table while we're talking, or I need you to, check in and see, like, just look at my facial expressions. And if you notice that I'm feeling a little off, like, I just need you to check in and be a little bit more attentive of me tonight. And that usually is all that I need, and that does the trick. But it's taken me work and practice and time to figure out how to recognize that a need is not being met, how to identify what the need is, and then follow through with meeting it for myself without relying on other people to meet it for me.
So great. And it's so true. It's like the tip of the iceberg feeling insecure about your body. And I always like to say that we use our body as a scapegoat for all of these other deeper things that are going on for us internally and emotionally. What are some other needs other than acceptance that tend to trigger that body image distress?
So many. Some things that come off the top of my head might be connection, patience, rest, a need for community, understanding, just these concepts that are like bigger than us, that often, again, we are searching for in this external model, and we've been conditioned and taught to believe that we can find that through shrinking ourselves. And so instead it's looking at the bigger picture. What is it that I'm missing? Oh, right. I haven't talked to my friends all week. Like, I could really use some connection there, so I'm going to reach out. Or I haven't had a break this week, so I am going to put on my do not disturb and get some rest after work today. Like, just looking at those bigger concepts.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so foreign, I think, to do to check in with ourselves in that way. Like we don't do it naturally. We kind of learn to just sweep it under the rug and keep on going. But these really hard body image moments are red flags that there are these needs that are just not being met, and your body is screaming at you that it needs some support.
Yes, and I love that you I love that you said that, because it's also such a helpful reframe of, like, this isn't anything negative. It's not something bad. We don't have to shame it. We don't have to get up in arms about it. It's just like an emotion, where it's a signal from our bodies, and it's trying to send a message. And if we can respond to it like it's a message, it can be so much more, so much smoother of a process. But also it comes and it goes so much more quickly, where a few years ago something like that could have taken me days to work through, sometimes weeks, and now it's quite literally a few minutes. So that's what you, if you're going to picture that quote unquote finish line of the healing process, it's not that those things go away. It's that we're so much more equipped to deal with them and handle those moments and respond to our bodies, which then continues to build trust and connection, where your body is like, oh, she's listening. I'm sending her these cues. And there was such a long period of time where she just ignored them or swept them under the rug, or hated that they were there. And now she sees them for what they are, and we move forward.
Amazing.
So much
Imagine
different.
that. So good. And hopefully those moments are fewer and further between, but you're right. They still happen and that's totally normal. That doesn't mean that you're at square one or anything like that. And I feel like it's really important for people to understand that is you haven't done anything wrong or you're not where you thought you were just because you panic about your body or your weight before, like you said, you're going to go meet somebody new or you're going to a social event or going to see your family or whatever else it may be. It's just there is some sort of need there that's unmet. Let's figure out what it is so we can move on and get back into life.
Exactly.
To wrap things up, what's maybe one thing somebody could do today to start feeling better about their body?
I could probably give you 30, but if I had to give you just one, and something that you can do literally today would be, I've talked about there's so much out of our control that we're conditioned by of these messages. But something that we do have a lot more control of that we tend to forget is what we see online. And
Yeah.
so curating your feed is a really tangible way of recognizing, this following this account maybe doesn't serve me anymore, or following this account, I recognize that I get some like uneasy, shameful, guilt feelings, and I don't really vibe with that anymore. So it's okay if I mute it or I just unfollow altogether. But taking the next step of diversifying your feed and allowing yourself to see that all bodies exist. We are so much inundated with one strict size that we forget that other sizes exist. So when we can see an entire range, it becomes safer for us to show up and exist in whatever size we happen to be on that spectrum. So I would say if you can do that in 20 minutes, just go through your inventory and make some space, and then type in body acceptance or body image coach, maybe health at every size, like some of those catchphrases, and do a little bit of searching to find more people that make you feel safer to just exist.
That's a great way of putting it. Make you feel safer to exist. Because I think that's what so much of this comes down to is we are conditioned to feel unsafe in the bodies that we're in or unsafe about gaining weight. And when we can acknowledge that we are okay as we are and that weight gain is not inherently a terrifying thing, we can feel more comfortable in ourselves. We can feel more confident. We can live the lives that we want to live without having to change who we are or what we look like. And so, Jess, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Embody Confidence Coaching. My
Great.
website is Let's Embody Confidence. Yeah, I don't know why I set that up like there was a third thing. Those are the places that you can find me.
Amazing. Well, it was really lovely meeting you, and thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your expertise. I know for a fact that everybody listening got a lot out of what we talked about and all of your wisdom. So, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.